Here we go. Final seconds.
Clutch is his name. Talking sports is his game.
End zone. Touchdown with no time left.
Pushing the limits.
They win on the last play of the ball game.
There are no limits.
Are you kidding?
Who can you count on to make the last throw or shot?
Wow, and the game is over.
Mikey Clutch. This is the final play.
Unbelievable.
We are back. We are back. Welcome into the final play with Mikey Clutch. I'm your host, Mikey Clutch. Week 2 already here. Football season is just nothing like it. Nothing like it. I'm glad to be here. Glad we're here. We got some great segments coming back today. I will obviously give the debt-free pick 3 at the end. Coming off a winning week last week, 2-1. We got our rookie watch back. I'll get into the games to watch this weekend, touch on my 49ers and what I'm thinking so far after week 1 and what's going on already with this team. How the turntables. I know that's my favorite segment, just a really good favorite here on the final play. And then let's jump right into Thursday night football, huh? We got the Green Bay Packers hosting the Washington Commanders. The Commanders offensively kind of struggling to start as far as moving the ball, and Jaden Daniels just not as accurate as he was last year as a whole. I mean, he was completing over 70% of his throws in the first 2 weeks last year. This year, under 60%. Now, a lot of that could be he didn't play the preseason, kind of knocking off some rust. But oddly enough, him and Debo seem to be on the same page already. Debo coming over in that trade from the Niners. And he looks good. He looks really good. He scored another touchdown this week. But the story really is Green Bay and how dominant they look on both sides of the ball. Almost 300 yards from Jordan Love. He was kind of just picking apart that Washington defense. And yes, last year the secondary was probably the issue in Washington. It still kind of looks a little shaky. But how about this Green Bay defense? You know, they were already solid before Micah got there. And with Micah not even playing 100% of the, you know, snaps and on a snap count still within the first 2 weeks, this defense looks really strong. Only giving up 3 points the first 3 quarters. And Washington, you know, they were held to 115 yards of offense before, you know, the garbage time scoring. They look good in the fourth quarter. They were able to get the game within 7. It was 17-10. But then Green Bay kind of just scores 10 straight points. And then you don't get these garbage time touchdowns until underneath 3 minutes. They get one more garbage time touchdown underneath 3 minutes. And half their yards came in those garbage time moments. So it was not looking good for Washington at all in that game. And here we are with these Thursday night games. We're so accustomed, short weeks, seeing players get injured. And yeah, Austin Eckler tore his Achilles, out for the season. You had Jaden Reed, you know, that touchdown that was negated, out with a broken collarbone now. And Noah Brown went down, and you know, a few of the other injuries. It's just, you just see it. This is just something we're so used to on Thursday night, short week, that these guys are getting hurt. It's kind of hard, you know, the quick turnaround from playing on a Sunday. And it really showed. And it sucks. It sucks because you don't want to see guys get hurt. But I just thought Green Bay overall, really well coached. We know this. Matt LaFleur, a top 5 coach in the league. It was just a little too much to handle. In Lambeau, that crowd gets going, they're juiced up, and Green Bay, I mean, they're still my Super Bowl pick. I got them against Baltimore this year, and it's looking really strong as long as they stay healthy. And Jordan Love, you know, last year, I touched on it last week, he was hurt throughout the season, couldn't really get right. A fully healthy Jordan Love, this offense with the weapons, yes, Jaden Reed goes down, but again, they are deep at receiver. And with Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur and that offense, they're able to run the ball, get the play action going. And Tucker Kraft having an amazing game. That was really his coming out party, you know. A touchdown, over 100 yards receiving. He just He looked like a top tight end in the league. So if him and Jordan Love get on the same page and you kind of get Matthew Golden going a bit here, this offense is still going to look strong, even with the receiving core getting a little banged up with, you know, Christian Watson starting on the PUP and Jaden Reed going down. But overall, I just really like the dominance Green Bay showed in this game. In Washington, we got to start seeing them week to week here, get a little bit better offensively. Hopefully, they treat the first month as their preseason. Jaden Daniels gets a little more comfortable again. But that offensive line has not looked good at all so far the first couple weeks, so that's going to be an issue. And I thought Jaden Daniels with the front of Green Bay was going to run a little bit more and have a little more success scrambling and maybe QB design runs, and he really didn't do much on the ground either. It was kind of a lackluster game as a whole for the rushing game for the Commanders, and you want to be able to take the pressure off the offensive line by being able to establish the run game, and they just couldn't do it. And Jaden Daniels, 7 attempts for 17 yards. Eckler, 8 attempts for 17 yards. And Jacory Bill Kroski Merritt, 4 touches. Now, he was more successful. He had 17 yards as well on the 4 carries. But I thought they were going to try to run it. I mean, the game, again, wasn't completely out of hand up until that fourth quarter. You would like to see Washington try to establish the run a little bit better, and they just couldn't do it. And Jaden Daniels, I mean, being sacked 7 times the first 2 weeks, that's not a good recipe for success on the Washington side of things. So let's just see if their defense can, you know, shore things up in the secondary and kind of hold these teams to not being able to move the ball through the air. And Jordan Love, like I said, was just kind of picking them apart and having his way with Washington. But I think Washington is still in a good spot, 1-1. You know, they're 1-0 in their division. They have the Raiders coming up at home next week, and the Raiders will be coming off a short week, so that might look, you know, good. But the Raiders, again, you know, East Coast game, they look pretty strong against the Patriots. Now, again, that's the Patriots, not Washington, who was a playoff team last year, but hopefully Washington can bounce back. And Green Bay, on the other hand, they'll look to continue looking really dominant and looking really good, and they're at Cleveland next week, so that right there should be a W on paper, especially with an extended week playing on the Thursday night. So we'll see how these teams look next week. But like I talked about, I love this segment. This is one of my favorite segments. So, how the turntables?
Well, well, well. How the turntables?
We got a few of these good ones here for how the turntables. We'll start with DK Metcalf versus Seattle Seahawks coming over to Pittsburgh. And he's going to go up against his former team today at noon. Looking for him to obviously come out and want to show that, hey, you should have kept me, and kind of show out against that secondary. Now, that Seattle secondary we know is pretty damn good. That defense we know is pretty damn good, holding the Niners last week to 13 points. I honestly think Seattle probably should have won that game. There was just a couple mistakes. That fourth down in the Niners' territory, I think that if they go for that, that seals the game. But, hey, still a young head coach. Got to get the decision-making down in Mike McDonald. And, obviously, I'm happy as a Niners fan that went our way. But, man, I'll get into that game when I touch on that. But, yeah, DK going against Seattle already. And then Joe Flacco versus the Ravens. We know the history. Flacco bringing a Super Bowl to Baltimore, again, against my Niners. But yeah, I like Flacco. He looked good the one time he played against Baltimore, over 300 yards, but I just think they're outmanned. Baltimore, again, my Super Bowl pick against Green Bay. They lost last week, a heartbreaking game to Buffalo, which those games, I swear, are game of the weeks every time those two teams play. What a game. But Baltimore, another double-digit lead, blown, they lose. I mean, last year it was against the Raiders, and that's when the Raiders had Gardner Minshew. So Yeah, I don't know what it is with Baltimore blowing those games, but yeah, Flacco, I think he'll play decent. He looked good last week. They should have won that game against Cincinnati if their kicker doesn't miss a field goal. But yeah, I love that as a turntable with Flacco versus the Ravens. And obviously the biggest one here today, and that is Ben Johnson going back to Detroit, playing the Lions with the Bears, coming off that Monday night loss where they looked great in the first half. Caleb Williams looked like the number one draft pick that we wanted to see last year. Looked really good. He started off 10 for 10 at one point. He was slinging the ball, moving well with his feet. Had a rushing, you know, rushing touchdown early. I thought he looked really good, and Ben Johnson had that team going. The defense, which played really well for three quarters, and they just couldn't hold it. That's where I think the coaching comes, where Kevin O'Connell, I'm on his side. I've loved him since he's been in Minnesota, really getting things going. And J.J. McCarthy, how resilient he was that game. And I want to see Ben Johnson's come out. But Detroit, off a humiliating loss last week against Green Bay, there's a lot of questions there. They're not looking great offensively. We all know because of what happened. But maybe Green Bay's just that good. And, you know, scoring 13 points last week, maybe they're going to want to come out and prove something. And I think they're going to be a little hungrier, saying, hey, yeah, we love you, Ben Johnson, but, you know, we still got a lot of talent. I don't know which side to be on in this game. I know the spread's like 6.5, 5.5, 6.5, I believe. I would like to go with the Bears, but short week, I just don't think they got things quite, you know, buttoned up over there. Not buttoned up, I shouldn't say that, because I do think Ben Johnson's going to have the team buttoned up, but kind of just ready to go as far as this team off a short week, and Ben Johnson's still kind of getting the reins of this team and trying to figure out offensively if Caleb's going to be able to, I don't know, control the game a little bit better and not be so sporadic, like, you know, erratic offensively. And that offensive line that they really built this offseason, I just want to see him be a little more decisive, quicker. And I know Ben Johnson wants that as well. But yeah, they can't be blowing a lead like that, especially against a division opponent. I want to see a close game. I hope this is, you know, a good one there in Detroit. But yeah, Ben Johnson versus the Lions. And that is how the turntables. All right. Well, we got the 49ers. As you know, that's my favorite team. That's who I root for. Every weekend they play. And a lot of concerns out of that week one game. But some things that could kind of help alleviate some of the stress and anxiety of the season is that it was a divisional opponent, a team that plays you really well. But I don't know. That game was a little too close for comfort. There were times where I thought they could start running away from it, but it just, the injuries, I don't know what it is with this team. It seems like almost every year they're snake bitten, other than those 2 years they were able to make a Super Bowl run. But Kittle going to be out multiple weeks. Purdy status. And now it looks a little bit better today than it was previously reported last week. It looked like it was going to be 2 to 5 weeks. But he is definitely in risk of missing more than just this week against the Saints, because Mac Jones is going to get the start, which I'll talk about that. But, you know, Trent Williams, Juwan Jennings, they were questionable going into today. Jennings went out last week. Trent Williams went out for a player or two last week as well, but they're both active today. So that's a good sign. Now, it still does worry me that Trent Williams, with his age and being a big guy on the offensive line, I've said it from the start of the season, if he goes down, that offensive line that already struggles is not going to look good. And in this Shanahan offense, I mean, we got Christian McCaffrey healthy. He went off last week. He was very, when he's healthy, he's a huge focal point to the offense, and he was, and it showed last week. Going to be relied on a lot, which also worries me, because you put all those miles on him again, more touches, more opportunities to get hit, more opportunities to put more stress on that calf and the Achilles shit he had last year. So it's looking a little bleak early on. But what the huge thing this offseason, when the schedule came out, it looked so good in the Niners' favor based on the standings of last year. Now, strength of schedule doesn't really mean anything in a new season because a lot of teams, there's a lot of turnover. Bad teams end up getting better. Most bad teams end up getting better. And, you know, sometimes good teams get a little bit, you know, they get knocked down a peg. But what helps the Niners is that they played both of the South teams, South divisions, and their schedule is favorable. Now, Mac Jones, it's funny how things come full circle, right? Mac Jones, everybody thought in 2021 draft, Niners were going to make a move to get him. We know the story there. Trade all these first-round picks, get Trey Lance. He doesn't really even touch the field. Get rid of him. He goes to Dallas. Mac Jones gets drafted by the Patriots later on. Has a great rookie season. And I think he will fit in this 49ers offense and will be a really good substitute for Purdy when he's out. And what I do like is Mac Jones, yes, did look good his rookie season, did not look good after that. But you have to put it in perspective. He had Josh McDaniels, who's a great offensive coordinator. Maybe not a good head coach, but a great offensive coordinator. That was his best season. They went 10-7 with him as a rookie. And, of course, it fell off after McDaniels left and went to the Raiders to coach. And so with Shanahan's history with quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, now he couldn't make it work with Lance, but Mac Jones being a pocket quarterback, accurate quarterback, because he was, you know, he's a career 66% completion percentage, and that's in bad offenses. So I think that Shanahan could work his magic with Mac Jones, and if the Niners can go, now I hope it's better than 2-5, but if they go 2-5, and Brock misses that much time, and that's hopefully when Kittle will come back, and hopefully these guys that are a little banged up now can work their way back, they have a very, very good schedule that softens up the second half of the season. You have Carolina, you have Cleveland, you have Tennessee, you have Colts, who have Daniel Jones, which that defense should be elite. You have the Bears late in the year, and we finish up with Seattle. So it can work out in their favor. Now, I say 2-5. They're already 1-0. That's huge. So the next six games at the Saints today, on paper, should be a win. Now, I do think they're going to win, and I think they're going to win pretty convincingly against the Saints, even with all the injuries and guys out and Purdy not starting and Mac Jones in. Then you have the Cardinals, who I think are going to be very frisky like they were last year. And I think I mentioned it last week. They had all their losses out of the, I think they went 8-9, and out of the 9 losses, 7 were playoff teams, and the other 2 losses were against Seattle, who just barely missed the playoffs. So they're going to be really good because they did get better. And week 1, yes, beat the Saints. Not that impressive of a win, but they're still a good team that will be competitive. So that could be a loss, right? So that's what, 2-1 right there. But Jags need to show me a little more before I get scared of them. But so if they lose that, Jags, they can lose. Rams lose. Bucks lose. And then Falcons, they can lose. So that's the 2-5 scenario, right? If they beat the Saints today. But then after that, like I said, it eases up when guys come back. You got at New York Giants. You have the Rams at home, which they have very good success against the Rams at home. Shanahan is really successful against McVay. Then you're at Arizona with a healthy squad. Then, like I said, Carolina, Cleveland, Tennessee, Indianapolis, Chicago. That is a fucking great break in the schedule. So I'm not too worried that the season's over already. No, it's too early to say that. And if this team is as well coached as I think they are, I think they can get through this 6-week stretch either 500 or even better. Okay, so that's that. But the biggest story probably was Jake Moody getting cut and released, and rightfully so.
you know, me and my dad were texting during the game, and after he missed the field, we're just like, he's got to be out of here. And I'm glad they did it, because he was great his rookie season, right? 21 for 25. I can accept that, but he just was not good for the next two seasons. You know, 74% field goal percentage, that sucks, all right? And he was 50% from 50-plus yards, and then 59% from 40 to 49 yards. That is awful. That is just unacceptable. The Niners picked up Eddie Pinheiro, and I think they call him Eddie Dinero Pinheiro or something like that, but it's like Chicago and Niners swap kickers, even though I know Pinheiro was in Carolina for a little stint there. So, yeah, glad the Niners cut Moody. Let's hopefully get our kicking game back. We really do miss Robbie Gould. He was just a sure thing, almost like Justin Tucker, right? So that's my little Niners rant. Hopefully they go out there and prove me right against the Saints. Let me take a real quick break, and we'll be back with the games to watch.
If you're in the victory formation, then you must be listening to the Mikey Clutch on the ChicagolandSportsRadio.com. Here's your host, Mikey Clutch.
Couple games. I got three of them that are must watch, and I'll touch on the first one, which I already kind of explained with the turntable segment. Chicago at Detroit. Both teams 0-1. Somebody's going to go 0-2. I mean, unless we get a tie today, which, hey, could be very well happen. It's the NFL. Anything's possible here. But listen, Caleb looked good to start. Jared Goff and that Detroit's offense really didn't get anything going last week. Garbage time touchdown, which made the loss look, you know, still bad, but not quite bad, but it was a bad loss. I'll say that. And you can really see the Detroit Lions struggles offensively. I thought they were going to be able to get the run game going with Gibbs and Montgomery. You really do need to get the run game going, because this Bears defense, their secondary is really good. And I thought they were going to take a little dip. Now, listen, they ended up giving up 27 points last week. But most of those points, 21 of them, came in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, that defense was really playing well throughout the entirety of that game. And just, I don't know, they just fell apart in the fourth quarter. And a testament to Kevin O'Connell and J.J. McCarthy really kind of pushing through and getting a win. So, I think the Bears, again, short week, less time to prepare. But I like this being a close game. It opened up. It spread's still 6.5. I think it opened up at 5.5, actually. So it jumped a point in Detroit's, or in the Bears, I guess, favor, because they're plus 6.5. I like that number. I'm not going to pick this as a debt-free, but I don't know. I think the Bears can keep it close. But who knows? Ben Johnson, I want to see if he, maybe hopefully the team wants to play hard for Ben Johnson to get, it's like a revenge type, you know, even though I feel like they left on good terms. Listen, he wanted to go into the next chapter of his coaching career and become a head coach. He's very beloved in Detroit. I mean, he turned that thing around with Campbell and Aaron Glenn and had that team. I mean, it's the best Detroit's looked in how long, you know? They were the laughing stock of the league for a long time. So I do think, again, I think Detroit can really run the ball. It'll be a good game for Detroit, and they might be able to run away with it. But that offense has to kind of step it up a bit. Second game. You have to watch this game. Super Bowl rematch. Philadelphia Eagles at Kansas City. Philadelphia are home or road favorites in Arrowhead. I can't count how many times, that the Kansas City Chiefs were home underdogs in Arrowhead. I do like the Chiefs to get a little revenge. I think that always comes into play. Both teams kind of have an extended week. Now, Philly has a one-day rest advantage to the Chiefs because they played Thursday. Chiefs played last Friday. But I think this is going to be a good game. Now, the thing that the Eagles have been able to do against the Chiefs the past couple times they've played them is really throw the ball on them. And that offensive line gives Hurts a lot of time. And the Chiefs, you know, Chris Jones just can't get going when he can't get to the, you know, passer. And Davante Adams and A.J. Brown, who were kind of nowhere to be seen last week, they have really good games against the Chiefs. So I'm looking for them to kind of participate a little more and be more effective. Now, the Chiefs, get Pacheco going. You got to get that run game going. I love that, you know, after Worthy went out, Tyquan Thornton came in. They were trying to go deep. They were really trying to go deep with them. I think they only missed them on a few throws. So, I like the Chiefs to win this. It'll be a close game. But I like the Chiefs being home dogs. Like, I feel like they come out on top. If that's happened in the Mahomes era, they, I'm sure, have won 100% of those games. And then finally, Sunday Night Football. This is a damn good one, too. Atlanta at Minnesota. Now, Minnesota came on strong in the fourth quarter, as I mentioned last week. If they get off to a slow start, I think Atlanta's good enough to be able to hold them defensively. Listen, Atlanta played a hell of a game last week against their division opponent, Tampa Bay. I think I even mentioned that that game was going to be a little low scoring. Those games were like shootouts last season. Next season, the games kind of come back a little bit as far as scoring. But I like Atlanta in this spot. I just do. Coming off like a bad loss, you know, Young Wei Koo, he missed the game tying field goal after, you know, Tampa goes down, scores, the guy misses the extra point. It was a weird game or a weird week of special teams last week. A lot of missed extra points, a lot of missed field goals, like some easy like chip shots too. Jake Moody, which Jake Moody, you know, I forgot to mention, he got the boot. Pun intended, he got the boot. But Atlanta at Minnesota. I really like Atlanta here in this spot. I think this will be another really good game, a great Sunday night game. Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, second-year quarterbacks battling it out. Darnell Mooney's back. Drake London, they said, is going to be active tonight. So that's huge for Atlanta because if they can get off to a good start like the Bears were offensively, and I think the talent on Atlanta is just – obviously, you got B.J. Robinson. You got Kyle Pitts, who, you know, he can show something here with a different quarterback that'll throw to him. And then, like I said, Drake London and Moody both being in, it's going to be a lot of choices for Penix to go to. Those are probably my three favorite games to watch this week, and I don't think they'll disappoint. Moving on. Oh, we're back with another year of rookies. And it is time for Rookie Watch. And I got four rookies that we're going to kind of be looking at this week. And this may change week to week. It may not. But these are guys that either, of course, usually goes to the number one pick, some big impact guys, the biggest storylines. This week I'm going to start Cam Ward versus the Rams. Now, the Tennessee Titans could have won that game against Denver last week. Going into Denver, the offseason they had with that defense who was so dominant last year, getting stronger on defense, and they were going back and forth with them a little bit. It was a very close game the whole time. But Cam Ward, obviously number one pick, sacked six times, which is not good. That you just can't do that to your quarterback, especially the number one overall pick. He went 12 for 28. He had 112 yards passing, but he did have his receivers drop five balls. Who knows? They're at home against the Rams. I think they might have a little bit of a better showing this week. I think the Rams' defense, though, this year is going to be very scary good. They already looked good last week as it is. But I think Cam Ward, again, rookie, get comfortable in this offense. It's just it really does fall on that offensive line. You just can't be giving up six sacks. And Rams could have another good week, you know, sacking Tennessee. My rookie of the year, offensive rookie of the year pick, Emeka Abuka. He's playing Houston this week. Monday Night Football tomorrow. But he had a hell of a game last week as a rookie. 4 catches, 67 yards. He was targeted 6 times, which is awesome. Godwin's out, we know. But yeah, 2 touchdowns. And he had that game-winning touchdown Baker threw. And after the game, stories came out. He called his shot. He said that on this post, I'm going to be open. And Baker threw a beautiful ball that right over the defender, and he caught for a touchdown, and that was the game winner. So looking for him to have another strong game against Houston, even though I think Houston's secondary is pretty damn good as well. And then obviously Travis Hunter, right? The two-way player. He had 6 catches on 8 targets last week, only 33 yards. But, hey, Lawrence is throwing him the ball. I mean, 6 catches, 8 targets even is a lot for his first game. And then he only had 1 tackle on defense, but as they mentioned, he's not going to really be on defense as much, and it'll be special packages and obvious passing downs. But with Cincinnati, he likes to throw the ball. Let's see him get a little more time today, and honestly, I would love to see him match up for a couple plays or a series against Jamar Chase and T. Higgins. That would be awesome. But yeah, he's another one against the Bengals. And then finally, Abdul Carter versus the Cowboys today. Cowboys without one of their offensive tackles, but they also extended the other. We'll see how this works today. He had 3 tackles last week and half a sack. So rookie already kind of in the has sack numbers at half a sack. So I think that if they can get pressure, this defensive front with New York was very hyped. Now they did have 4 sacks last week, which is really good. But Dallas also gave 0 sacks against that Eagles front. But we forget, or we got to remember, I shouldn't say we forget, it's only been a week, and the guy spit on Dak. We got to remember that Jalen Carter was out that whole game. So they probably couldn't get as much pressure as they wanted to on Dak. I think New York will be able to get some pressure, but Dak has a lot of success against the Giants in his career. And no better way to transition into the debt-free pick 3.
We don't do anything illegal.
Debt-free pick 3.
Look what I found in my pocket. Look, a year's salary right here. What I call them? A fun coupon.
This is the debt-free pick 3.
On the final play.
With Mikey Clutch.
That's right. Winning week. 2-1. We hit on the Raiders on the road. They went outright against the Patriots, who, we'll see how the Patriots. I'm not even going to get into it, but Geno Smith slinged the ball around, and they look good offensively. Brock Bowers, man, what a fucking tight end that guy is. And he is going to be active Monday night tomorrow. But, yes, I Raiders, great pick. Tampa Bay covered. The only loss was the fucking Miami Dolphins. Miami, what are you doing? They looked like the worst team of the week, so I was way off on that pick after I said Tua averages 319 yards passing, and whatever. That game ruined a perfect week. But this week, let's go perfect. 3-0, and I'm starting where I ended the last segment. Dallas at home, -5.5. Against the Giants. Dak, 13 straight wins against the Giants. Now, of course, ESPN has to say that today, and which means Dallas is probably going to lose. But you know what? I'm still sticking with this pick just based off the history. And when Dak plays, Dallas looks a little bit better. And I just trust Dak and the Cowboys over Russell Wilson. And, of course, I said that last week with Daniel Jones and the Colts against Miami. But here I go again, doing the same shit. I should know better, but hey, hopefully it works out this week. Second game, Seattle on the road against Pittsburgh. I know, Pittsburgh looked fantastic last week, but that defense gave a lot of yards up. I think Seattle will be able to move the ball, and I love Seattle defensively more than the Jets defensively, to be honest. I think their secondary is their strongest unit. They have a solid defensive line as well. I just think they're going to be able to get to Rodgers. I think hopefully they game plan to stop DK Metcalf, because I really don't know. Calvin Austin is pretty good for the Steelers, but I think that they're going to be able to shore up DK and really stop the running game They'll be able to dominate this game and win outright. I didn't give a pick. All right, so Dallas wins 27-17. Seattle, I'm going to say they're going to cover. I want to pick them to win outright, but hey, 3.5, I'll fucking take it. We'll just say Pittsburgh wins 20-17. And then finally, Sunday Night Football. Atlanta, +3.5 against Minnesota. I just love that Michael Penix is getting his weapons. They're going to be playing healthy. I like them to win outright tonight and bounce back and not go 0-2. I think McCarthy, you know, slow start last week. He can't afford to have a slow start, but he missed some practice this week due to having a kid. You also have the short week of Monday night. So I just think this is a good spot for Atlanta to bounce back. And they looked good against a division opponent last week. I love Atlanta here, 24-20. They went outright. And that's the debt-free pick three this week. I have Dallas -5.5 against the Giants, Seattle +3.5 against Pittsburgh Steelers, and then I have Atlanta +3.5 against the Minnesota Vikings. And that right there, folks, is going to do it for me today. Hopefully you can listen to this, but I know it's going to be out right before the games. We had a little bit of a slow start today, but hey, we made it. We're week 2, back for week 3. Love you. God bless.